Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello, hello,
hello. Episode 201, Devin. We have another 199 to go to hit 400 to double our pay.
Oh my gosh!
What is it? 2025? When did we start the podcast? I don't know. Probably 2020. Is it during COVID? It's been a lot. It's been a bunch of years.
I don't know.
Yeah, one of those things.
We're still here.
Yeah, right. 200 episodes, what is that? Weeks in a year? Mm. All right, man. What you got for us?
It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust, sweat, and blood, who strives, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, who spends himself at a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
That's
a long one.
That was good, man. Some passion there.
Yeah, that is Theodore Roosevelt. He's definitely a doer.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's not an outside looking in critic.
I heard, but someone had just used the little bit of it. Like, it's not the critic, it's the one who goes into the arena that has that experiences anything worth doing. It's overly, I mean, not for him, because he's a president and he fought in wars and stuff, so it's not overly dramatic for him. It might be overly dramatic for just general makers, but
right.
It's nice. It's so well written.
Yeah, I mean, it leads me to think about the armchair critics, you know, people who are watching what you do and criticizing what you do, you know, especially with social media. Being able to just hide behind their screens and their, you know, anonymity.
You make something.
yeah, right. You make something. yeah. What,
there was another one. I was, it might have been, it's someone Joe Rogan was talking to. I forget, but they were what was it? Hang on, go ahead. You keep.
Yeah, well, I was also thinking, I was just listening to the Knife Talk podcast yesterday. They were talking about knife reviewers, you know, people actually doing, reviews on knives and, you know, with influencers being such a big thing. And obviously, reviewers have been a thing for a long time, you know, with restaurant and film and critics and stuff. But they're saying, when the reviewers get into talking about the process behind making and they're, kind of just, you know, regurgitating things they've heard or the key phrases, you know, heat treatment and temper and, you know, edge retention and blah, 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 and, you know, stickage and, and how they were just annoyed at the, the armchair experts, you know, people hey, unless you're out there making stuff, you know, go ahead and review everything all you want within the limits of what your knowledge is, right? Mm-hmm. How does it feel in the hand? How does it cut? How does it hold an edge? You know, can you use it for an hour? You know, do the reviews on what your experience is, but don't try to go behind and start making up things or start talking about stuff if you've never done it, you know?
So did one of them get a bad review? Is that why they were getting bitter?
I don't think so. No, I think, Jeff was talking about, he was watching a review, you know, he's watching knife reviewers talk about knives and just talking about, you know, talking about the knife making process or the heat treating process and just kind of getting it wrong. But, you know, just spitting out the things that are the, you know, the hot topic things or whatever. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Not ever making knives.
Right. So I got it. It's the criticisms hurt most when you know when you kind of agree with it, or you know you didn't do your best in something.
Right.
That's right. When it stings, just like any insult. When it cuts, it's like, oh, that was a little too close to home, right?
Right.
It's because you've thought of the same thing. My right ear looks weird. Why is my... And someone's like, his goofy ass right ear. And you're like, shut the fuck. You get all defensive. Yeah. But it's like, you look at your ear in the mirror and you're like, why is it weird? So it's someone like...
pushes your buttons, you know?
Right, yeah. So it's like, if you know whatever you did then wasn't your best work, and someone points that out, that's when it stings. It doesn't sting as much if you actually put all into it, and you're like, well, that's as best I could do. So, I mean, you can shit on me all you want, but, like, that's it.
Right, yeah. When I gave it my all.
When you know, like, that's I mean, that's as good as it gets for me.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't hurt, but it's when you've kind of slacked a little bit, and someone says something. That's happened in for me with YouTube videos. Like, someone points out something that I was like, that wasn't great, but... oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
And they pointed out, you get defensive right away, but it's like, eh.
Yeah, right. They you. Pointed, you make your own video.
And then they pointed out exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
Not that you have to be the person who actually writes negative comments on a YouTube video, which is always dazzled. Like, been kind of, you know, who knows why people do what they do.
Right, but, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we get a lot, you know, we get, well, not a lot of bad comments, but when we do, you know, they're always, it's almost, I don't understand if it's a real human or it's translated from some other language, because there'll be so many, like,
typos and stuff.
The grammar is horrible, and some of the sentences don't make sense, and you're like,
yeah,
wait, this is not even, like, what is this? Like, is it a real person? Are they foreign, or is it someone who just has some type of mental disability?
We just got one on the Toolbox 100 video.
Oh, yeah. Don't call it out exactly. I don't want to give him love, but I know what you mean. But it was so like poorly written that you can't even almost understand the point the person's trying to make.
Right. So then I think he even... if it's the same person, like, he commented on one of the Instagram posts, or maybe it was a YouTube community post or something, like,
short.
It's like, you know, it's just talking about, like, people not appreciating free stuff. Like,
it's so obviously, but it's so over the top, like, poor grammar and and weird run-on sentences and things that kind of make so easily. I think, like, some of them are just bad translations. Some angry guy from, you know, some Eastern European country, or it's like a bot, or it's someone with who's not that bright. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which one's better or worse.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, I mean, I feel, and also, like, you're mentioning, like, there are things that you do that you notice that they're wrong, and then someone comments on it or something, or you're something's, like, pushing your buttons the wrong way. But then there's also on the other end where it's like, I may make something and there's, like, all sorts of stuff I know that I did wrong, but, like, the people seeing the end product might never notice it, you know? And so it's not like it might get on my nerves, but everyone else is like, wow, look at this amazing thing. Or, you know, that people see it that way. And so you're like, oh, okay. You know, like, so those little flaws and stuff, it doesn't matter. Or if it was like a design choice at some point that you, like, thought it was designed well one way and then you made it a different way. And you're always thinking back like, oh, I should have done it that way. But everyone else who sees it, they just see the end product, you know?
I think there has to be definitely maybe some of that where someone's like, they know a little bit, or they watched a bunch of videos about something.
Right.
And then they see yours, and then everyone, they see, you know, whatever, 50 nice comments.
Yeah.
And like, hey, you know, it's not that good. He didn't even do, you know, it's like the thing, whatever art or whatever profession you're in, you see people amazed by things that are simple to you.
Right.
And then when everyone's all freaking out, eventually you break and you're like, well, all right, guys, like, it's not that good. You start to, like, even though you never were going to shit on it, but everyone else is saying it's the greatest thing ever. And you're like, well, it actually kind of sucks. I wasn't going to say anything, but, like, it's pretty simple. And, like,
everyone's sucking your dick about it. So
yeah, like, just take it easy. It's not even that good.
Well, you know, it's like... whatever. Like, I'm never going to be one to criticize someone on something they did wrong. You know, like, if I don't someone like it, like, I'll keep my mouth shut.
Like a YouTuber. But if it's something like, for me, I have fun making fun of Avatar because it became a huge thing. Because they made, like, a Universal or a Disney park. And I'm like, wait, who likes this? No one's ever dressed up as a blue Avatar character at a con. No one's ever. I've never heard anyone say, I like Avatar. You know, like it's, I've heard you get Star Wars and Star Trek and Lord of the Rings and animes and all this stuff, all these games, Skyrim and Mario, and never heard anyone like
super Avatar fans.
Yeah, like, oh my god, you see, like Avatar, you know about whatever and this, what about that, and these people. It's like no one's ever, not that I, maybe I'm in the wrong,
right, as yeah, maybe you're in the wrong community.
But I don't think, you know, I watch videos of cons and stuff all the time, and I never see someone dressed up, painted all blue and a tail and fucking some weird shit.
Bow and...
Yeah, having tail sex in the hallway at convention Three things. Center.
Yes.
Let's intertwine.
That's great. They should, though. I like the idea, right? I like the story behind Avatar. You know, it's, well, I mean, to an extent, right? It's the same story as everyone else. There's like,
yeah, Pocahontas, you know, and Dancing with the Wolves.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I love the idea of going to a new world, and, you know, there's this like this kind of native, you know, culture that is like more, it's like super in tune with everything around them. You know, they can connect with the animals, like that's all awesome, you know. Like I wish we could do that. I wish there was some way to like you know, connect so you can actually understand, you know. It's like every fantasy book about like dragons and their riders, you know, they have the connections and whatnot, you know, or yeah, whatever, like, you know, Princess Mononoke and her talking to the wolves and stuff, you know. So it's this like fantasy of a connected, you know, a more connected planet.
Yeah, but everyone in the movie is annoying. So they're connected to something, but it's like they are annoying. Like, I don't like you. I may like the weird green horse, but you are annoying and tropey, and like no one's interesting. I mean, we don't have to go on the Avatar rant again. What's he hate Avatar so much?
Jeez, this guy. Yeah, but I feel like, you know, I'm not, unless someone asks me to critique, I'm not critiquing anyone. You know, that's not, yeah, it's not, I don't feel like it's my place. You know, I do it enough every day in school where I'm like, I'm there to like, but I'm there to encourage, you know, and like push creativity and try to push people and like to be more creative and like push. Like, I'd rather do that. Yeah.
It's fun to punch up critique on certain things like that. I mean, you know, punch up, punch down is kind of corny to say, but
right.
Punching down to me would be punching to, you know, attacking small, like YouTube channels. Right. That's silly. That's,
yeah,
they don't have any power. They're not some huge thing that has a Disney, like, it, leave that person alone. They're just making a couple hundred bucks on the side.
Right.
You know, a month, like, you don't have to shit all over that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
Like, even if you didn't like it, yeah, it's the thing. Just like, all right, move along. Like,
yeah,
this one's not for me. The guy's weird or the sound's off or it's kind of boring. Like, I'll move along and find something I like because there's a million videos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to waste my time to.
Yeah. But if you're watching something that's like got millions of dollars in production value, and
then you're like,
detailed artists and tons of people that should know better. Mm-hmm. Right. Then does that make you feel like then you can?
Sure. Well, shit on I think more. It's usually then when someone, it seems to be, it's the old thing. Like it's popular. So then you begin not to like it. It's that old thing. Cause you don't know why. Right. Like, wait, it's not, what are we doing? Like, why is it on the cover of this, and why is it this, and why is it at Park, and why is it, like, it wasn't very good. I wasn't going to say anything, but now I love it, but.
Yeah.
All right, so, what do we want to move on to?
We just put out the Toolbox 100 video yesterday, which was cool. It was good to get it done. We did on the last podcast, which was our live episode 200. We talked about that and also talked about giving away sticker packs. So at the time, we didn't have those sticker packs, but we did receive those sticker packs this week. We got the stickers and got the last shot of putting the sticker on the toolbox.
Or the... Yeah, we kind have, of less. Yeah, that's what we were waiting for, really.
Yeah, right.
We weren't sure. I was like, I don't know, and you kind of wanted to do it, so I didn't. I felt either way, it didn't matter. You know, 5 days difference, it wasn't going to break anything. So.
Yeah, well, I think it's like, I like the idea of the sticker because it's like, it's pushing, it's like stamping what you're doing as a certain thing, mm-hmm. right? It's like, this is what it is. It's Toolbox 100. You know, it's not just a casual, you know, supporting of friends and makers. It's like, hey, I'm doing this as a movement, as part of a group of people who are all trying to do it together. We're trying to push people forward. We're trying to, you know, bring people up and do good and, you know, give some things away and push. Right. Like I wanted it, it needed like a punch, like a purpose, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think having a sticker makes it feel like it's a, like a, you know, period. Yeah. You know, it's like an exclamation point at the end of a sentence.
We spent $19 on 50 stickers. We're serious about this, all right? It's not just some flim-flam.
No, but it's like signing your work, right? So it's like, okay, I did this, and now there's a sticker on it, and it's part of this movement. It's part of this, like, challenge. Mm-hmm. So I thought, and because we got them and we want to, like, and, you know, I challenged people and we encouraged them to let us know. We'd send them stickers so that way they could do it, be part of it, and make it like a thing so people see it and they recognize it. And it's not just another toolbox in someone's shop. It's got the sticker on it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a Toolbox 100. So then there's part of a story and a part of a movement, part of someone had the, like, the desire to think about one person enough to go out and spend their time and spend their money and put together something to do something good for one person. Like, I think that's special, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But also though, I think it is because it didn't necessarily start as that was the goal.
Right.
Because we kind of got there because of thinking it'd be fun to do like a time challenge, but that was, we can't really get people to spend money and run around and do stuff. And then why don't we move it to, you have as much as time as you want and you do this thing. But then we're thinking all these people have all these tools. So what?
Right.
They're not going to need another toolbox.
Right. Right.
And then it kind of went down to like, oh, why don't you just give it away to someone?
Right.
Like, wouldn't that be nice? So we didn't start out trying to, do like a fancy, nice thing.
Right.
It started out as just, we just kind of came to it. Like, and all these people who have followings and stuff who we want to see what they're doing. I'm really interested in seeing what their 20 tools are.
Right.
And it'd be cool to spread it around and, you know, have something that's our thing. But, and then it just kind of got to, well, they can give it away. And then you're like, well, maybe I should give it away. And then I'm like, who would we give it away to?
Right.
Is it like a random person? And then we're like, it doesn't matter. Like, just give it away to someone who you think could use it. And we kind of stumbled into it. We didn't start out as like aiming for
what can we do something good? Right.
Do-goodery.
Yeah, no, but I feel like that's what put the exclamation point on it. Right. That's what made it.
It did feel nice. Like, special. Once you go, like, oh, wouldn't that be cool? Oh, yeah. Everyone, you could give it away to someone who, like.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, like you said, in like talking about dating your wife, right? Or before you guys were, you know, mm-hmm. it was like when you think of something good, mm-hmm. then do that mm-hmm. good thing, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. then that shows the person that you were thinking about them. Mm-hmm. And so like putting something together, because once we realized we were going to give it away, then it was like, oh, well, there's specific things I want to make sure I find because they're the things that I think are important for someone else to have because it's special to me. And I want to be able to tell that story to that person. And so I think that's what makes the challenge special, you know, because it's cohesive, right? Before it was like, it took us some time to get to it. It was like this, but then like, if it weren't a thing, like do this and then give it away, it didn't really have a reason to be a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Cause it could have been like, a challenge, you know, make a cool toolbox and post about it. But then people are just buying more tools, you know, like, so then the idea is like,
don't need the like perfect toolbox.
Right. Exactly. It. Yeah. But
most everyone has what they want for.
Yeah. They have a shop full of tools. They don't need a toolbox.
Yeah. And I would, that's why I want you to do a couple more Instagram stuff when you get a chance, like explain a few more things like,
right. Right.
Hey, you guys can do this. This is why I want you to do it. Or in just another one, like we did also bring up, like I might want to join in, but I'm not to a point where I need to pass on some knowledge unless it'd be like to my kids.
Right, right.
So maybe I would make a toolbox just because I think I want to join in.
Right. Yeah.
And then that can be good too. Like whoever wants to do it can do it.
Right.
If you are a person, a maker with a following, and you've got a million tools, and yeah, give it away. But if you're not, right. if you're just a fan and you want to make a cool toolbox for the house or whatever, maybe you have a shop or maybe you don't, right. you can join in with that too. And it's
right.
it's still a part. We still want to see what people are doing. It's fun to see it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was trying to get my buddy Guy, because he was watching it last night, Dustin. He was really mm-hmm. liking it, because he was like commenting as he was watching, like, "Oh, you got mm-hmm. that? Oh, that was a good choice. Oh, I should have this." And
yeah, nice.
Like, oh, nice video. Like, he was enjoying it, right, the process yeah. of seeing it, and
right.
And I was like, "Hey, man!" I didn't even know if he had any social media. I was like, "Oh, you don't have to do it. You're not gonna like share it." But I was like, "If you do, like, just share it, and we'll get some more hashtags on it, just to have it."
Yeah, right.
When you make the hashtag, it says more than like 100. That'd be nice. You know?
Right. Yeah, because it's like less than 100. You're like, okay.
Yeah, come on, let's get over that mark.
Yeah, right. but, you know, I've had a few people reach out, like, telling me, like, Adrian from Hickory Homestead Creation, she found a cool toolbox. Right. She was like, check out this awesome toolbox I found for the challenge. And, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I think, you know, obviously it's going to start slow, but and that's fine. But I think it's good. There's been a couple people. Actually, Kodiak Edge Bladesmithing, who was one of the winners from last week for the sticker pack, he watched the video and was like, I'm definitely going to do it, you know, so it's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so whatever. You know, if it's like, if 10 people end up doing it, that's fine, you know, but I just feel like it's something fun. And like I said, you know, being as a more experienced maker and thinking about cool tools and thinking about who you might give it away to, right? Then there's like a reason, it gives you a reason to hunt for the cool tools other than mm-hmm. just the, you know, but again, if you're making it for yourself, that's cool too. You can hunt for the cool tools for yourself and hopefully you can watch other people and get inspired by what I put in my toolbox and what other people put in their toolboxes. And, you know, like maybe you didn't know how versatile a sliding T bevel is or like a pair of vice grips or something, or, you know, it's like, and then when you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that doesn't make sense, you know? So, but, I will say, like, once I had the idea that I was going to give it away, and I wasn't exactly sure who, but I had a couple people in mind, it gave me a purpose. You know, it was like, now I want to make sure that I have these specific tools in the toolbox, because then I know that I can, you know, it's like, this is the essential things to help get you started around the house, but also just to get started in making.
Yeah. So who'd you
so give yeah. it to? So I gave it to one of my students, and I'm not going to say her name just for, you know, privacy sake, but, yeah, but I did, it's funny. So I told her that I was going to give it to her. I was going to give her something, on Monday. I was like, hey, I have something for you. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, I have something for you. I forgot to bring it in today, but I'm going to bring it in. And she's like, okay. She's like, what is it? And I could see, you know, she's starting to get like curious about it. And she's like, what do you mean, Mr. Harry? What do you mean? Like, I was like, I have something for you. She's like, what is it? I was like, you'll see. She was like, did you make something for me? I was like, yeah. She's like, really? And, you know, I could see, like, so then she was like excited about it. And she was trying to ask me some more questions, but I wasn't like alluding too much, you know? So then, I told her I would bring it in on Wednesday. And then I forgot yesterday. Today's Thursday. I forgot to bring it in on Wednesday. But I was like, I'm sorry. It was just sitting on my kitchen, table, and I just forgot to grab it in the morning.
Yeah.
So then I brought it into school today, with me, and, you know, the video came out yesterday. So I'm carrying the toolbox in, and, one of my students was standing outside of my classroom. He was coming in the building at the same time I was, and he was like, oh, Mr. Harrow, did I leave my, you know, computer and binder, white binder in your classroom yesterday? I was like, yes, you did. It's sitting there. I saw it. I put it aside. He's like, okay, cool. So he like walked into the classroom with me, and then he like looks down and he goes, is that the Toolbox 100? And I was like, this is it, man. He's like, no way. He was like, I just saw your video yesterday. He was like, I feel like I'm seeing like a famous person.
Famous item.
Yeah, right. So he like knew it. And it's funny because Antonio is like, oh, there's his name. but he's one of the ones who, he likes the videos, and he like, he also has social media, and he'll comment stuff on my posts. And
he's like, why don't I have come on, give me the box.
yeah. But so then the other student, She came in, and our, the, that, her, her grade, the seniors, she's one of my seniors. They were doing, OSHA training, which is the, job site safety. So we had, it's like a 2-day training that they can do. And then they have their OSHA certification. So that way, when they go into the actual professional world, they have, you know, OSHA certification, which you have to have to work or be around a construction site and stuff. So
that's
We're doing that for them. And, you know, the school pays for it, but they just have to do it for the,
To be around it?
To be like, there's certain type of certification you have to be like within that field and working, you know, so
doing certain things. I remember I've been on some construction sites, but I was always doing carpet. Then I had nothing other than a t-shirt that said carpet works on it. And I carried a bunch of stuff and would do 30 rooms, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. So, so then she came in a little later, and so I, she had to head into the OSHA training. So I, you know, showed her, I was like, come here, I'll show you. So I pulled up the toolbox and I showed it to her, and she was like, no way. She was like, you made this for me. She was like freaking out about it. And I was like, yeah, I had you in mind, 'cause I know that you love tools and, you know, you want to go into either construction or construction management. Like she's like one who just likes to make stuff with her hands, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, that's so awesome. And she's like, oh, I'm so excited. And then, so I like opened the toolbox and I, you know, I told her how like some of them are vintage tools and some of them are new tools. And I like lifted up the inner shelf and she like freaked out again when she saw all the other tools I'm inside. She was like, what? This is crazy. She's like, Mr. I can't believe it. So, but then she had to go and actually like go into the training. So I didn't get a chance to like go through all the tools with her today. But I was like, well, if you stop back right after school, then I can, you know, I can go through more stuff and tell you about them. 'Cause I want to tell her about like why, you know, basically what the video is and all. And I did tell her that we made the YouTube video. So, but then she was, she had work, so she sent me a text after school. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I, you know, I had to go to work, but, you know, can I see it all tomorrow? I was like, yeah, that's, of course, it's in school, so it's yours. Like, yeah, she's like, okay. So she's going to come in tomorrow, and then I'll go through, and I'll try to get a picture. I'll ask her, like, before I post her image, I'll ask her and make sure she's okay with it. And if she's like, I'll just do a picture and I'll blur her out or whatever. I'll do something like where it's, you just can't see her face or something. So, but yeah, no, it was cute. Like I knew that it's something that she would really like, and she is very happy about it. And, you know, and like the right amount of modesty and like thankfulness and stuff that you hope, you know, it's like, I knew she would, 'cause I know her. She's been one of my, she's a senior and I've been teaching her for 3 years now. So, but you know, her love of tools and making things has grown over the years. And so like, especially right now, we're doing a lot of stuff in the computer lab with my seniors. So they're doing a lot of 3D modeling and, architecture programming and all. So she's like, when are we going to be back in the, you know, in the lab, like making things? She's like, I want to make something again. I want to make models or do some, build some stuff. It's like, we'll get there. But yeah, she was very excited about it and very like, you know, like modest and like, excitedly shy about it, you know, like
it's just a good reaction.
Yeah, right. It was a great reaction, and
yeah, it's fun.
She gave me a big hug and stuff, and yeah.
And honestly, I think you could have paid a good deal less for. Well, not a good deal less. I feel you could have got that toolbox for 30.
For the toolbox.
So you could have really like. It could have been. You can do one for like $50. I think is very doable.
Yeah, right. It's
especially
not,
on those other tools. Yeah, I don't think you ever really talked many people down at all, did you? Like it was.
No, not really. I mean,
if you're really aiming, you could almost do a toolbox 50, but you would have to haggle a little bit.
Right. I did try to the needle nose pliers. I tried to get them for $2, and the guy was like, oh, $3. I was like, take $2. He's like, I think I'll hang on to them. I was like, all right, fine. Here's $3. You know, like. Like $3 was a little, like, I was like, really $3? But you know, I like them. They're great and they're in great condition. And, yeah, I mean, I don't think there wasn't anything that someone, you know, asked really high for. And the only thing I thought out of all the tools that I got that someone could have asked for more for, and I probably would have paid more, is the S-wing hammer. You know, like I've seen people charge $20 for them, vintage ones, you know, and so. Yeah.
But I saw it. It was a little dirty. It was rusty. And a lot of people won't even
Right.
They won't touch it because, like, it's all rusty. They won't think about wire wheel or...
Right, exactly. Or yeah, and, like, you know, that. But, I mean, I've also seen them, like, just in a pile and, you know, I pick it up and someone's like, yeah, I'm $15. I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. You know, like, yeah. it's not that great. But that one was in good condition. And, you know, of course, the guy was like, $2? I was like, that's a steal. Will you take five? But, like, you know.
Yeah. And the main thing was the toolbox because, really, you only wanted the toolbox. So that was your, like... You weren't desperate to get anything in that toolbox.
Right.
No, so you'd be like, you're like, look, I want to buy the toolbox for $5.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't sell me everything else in it, how much you want to go, like, $20, $25? Yeah, right. Like, you know, you could have been like, I really only want the box. But if you want to throw everything else in, I'll get,
right, and that's what we said to the guy.
$25.
I was like, well, I really want the box. I was like, I don't necessarily want all the tools. I was like, but I definitely wanted, there were, like, the channel locks. I wanted those. And there was the sliding T-bevel was in there and the scraper. Like, I saw the things in there that I wanted, that I knew that I wanted to keep in the box, you know, in the toolbox. So there were a handful of things in there that I wanted to keep. And so I was like, well, you know, like, I don't know. I just felt like $50 was also a good deal for that box full of tools, you know? So, And there are tools in there that I'll use in the shop that go into my toolbox, you know, so it's not like nothing in there was a waste. You know, there wasn't anything that I'm like, oh, I don't need that. Like, that can go to Goodwill or whatever. A couple a couple random little screwdrivers, but, you know, like, I always fuck up screwdrivers anyway, so as well, like, keep some extra ones around, throw them into whatever other, like, you know, little toolbox that I had that'd take places or into my tool belt or, you know, into the truck or something, so.
Did you watch the video?
I did, yeah.
All right.
It was great, yeah. That was fun. I liked the pace of it. You know, it was really good. And, like, just hearing the, like, the stuff about it and how you mix, like, the shots of where I got stuff and the close-ups was nice. We had that second camera set up so you could see, like, the close-up of me holding it while talking about it.
Yeah, it kept it just quick enough. I mean, obviously, I trimmed some stuff. That.
Yeah, right, yep.
And there was a few. I liked the electrical tape and WD-40 and safety glasses.
Yeah, you're like...
Where it skips right over it.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, we know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, yeah, this is what you need. Get some electrical tape. Ka-ching.
Yep.
WD-40. Ka-ching.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Safety glasses. Ka-ching. Like,
yep. Yeah, you know, those are all... They're, like, obviously things. Like, that's, like, the things in the new, right? Like, yeah, I'm not going to give somebody a vintage roll of electrical tape, you know? It's like, or a half-used bottle of WD-40, like... To buy those things new, but they should be in there, you know. So.
Right. But I think it was turned out good. The second camera was good. It was a real bitch to match the color. It's just whatever settings. I haven't matched the settings of that second camera yet to the first one,
which is
on me. So I really had to fight it to get it, get everything close. But it looked nice, and it was nice to have that second angle to cut to and.
Yeah.
Keep things moving a little bit, even though it's the longest 25 minutes of you just talking about what's in the toolbox, which is a lot.
I was a little surprised. I was like, 25 minutes. I was like, wow, really? But I definitely feel like the pace was good. Like, it didn't feel like 25 minutes, which is good. You know, like when a 25-minute video feels fast, like, it means it's going. The pace is good.
Yeah, it was. I feel like I cut out 10 minutes of you explaining stuff.
Right, yeah.
So it was like 35.
Right, reiterating or 30,
you know,
a bit.
So it was just a little... But event, you know, the video is that. You can't... It's you're discussing the tools and why you like them, so we have to leave in you discussing tools and why you like them. It's like...
Right.
If I just chop it down too much, then it's lost what it is. That is the point of talking about the thing and why you like it. I want to sit and hear the person talk about it. It's not a... It's not some super fast thing. But we added shots of you getting the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A few shots of you cleaning the stuff up, which was... I could have added a couple more. I think I don't know. By the end, I don't know. I added a few shots of you cleaning stuff up.
Yeah,
I probably could have added a few more, but I felt like it was moving along okay. So I put a few of those in, then a few shots of you at the store searching for stuff. It was just enough to... Show the process.
Yeah, I really liked those. Like when, you know, like the discovering the tool shot is in with me talking about it. That was cool. And I had that thought when I was watching it, like that, you know, I didn't timestamp anything. So you would have had to like watch the videos and find those and be like, oh, that's where he found this tool that's in the box. You know, like, I was like, oh, wow, he found that. That's cool. Like, and it was funny because I was like, oh, that's where I got that thing. Like, I couldn't remember, like, you know, like the vice grips and the chisel were in the, you know, I got from the second little place, like at the North Point Flea, but not the big flea market, the little side store thing, you know, like, and
yeah, it did, you know, it was cool. It took a little time to sort through stuff. That, I mean, those ones, it's just like I usually say, when it's a different format, I just go so slow. And right. that had what, three cameras basically worth, like, different things, all that had to kind of line up and work together. And three cameras and a fourth one of you cleaning the stuff. So it had like four separate trains of information that I had to kind of. That's why I would never want to do like a documentary. It's hard. Sounds horrible. It's too wide open. Like, I don't even know how to focus this. Like, but it just took time. It was one of those things where you just had to go through each tool, and I would.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Where was it? But I've started looking through so much, I kind of was remembering where things were. Like, right. Oh, he was here, and oh, I saw him grab this before he grabbed that. And the one, the S-wing one. You know, that had to be found because that was one of the, you talked about it, the story of finding it. Like, it was the last booth, the last thing, and I went and walked around. Yeah. So I was like, okay.
The bucket and the Solomon
bucket. I got that whole bit. We'll put that whole chunk in.
No, it's good. Yeah. And it was funny because, like, finding that hammer was at the end of walking up and down the aisles. And so I had kind of had the thought at the beginning of it, you know, there's like five or six aisles that are probably, I don't know, 50 yards long, you know, with 8 or 10 booths on either side of each aisle. I was like, well, I'll just record this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'll just start the camera, and I'll just record all the way up and down, up and down, up and down until I either am finished or find what I'm looking for. Yeah. With the idea, it was like, okay, if I find something, then you can like fast speed through or something or whatever, you know, but that is funny. Cause like that would have been a, I don't know, 20-minute walkthrough video, whatever those aisles. Right. And then it wasn't until the very end that I found the hammer, you know, like the last booth, the last little tube booth. And it was funny because when I found it, and I think I mentioned this already, but there was where the guy had his stuff there, his booth area had some tables set up, and on the tables there were some tools. So I had like already looked through the tools, like the tools that I saw in his booth. And I was like, okay, that's the tool area. So I looked there, you know, and there's like another table with random kitchen shit and stuff, you know, it's like, and clothes and whatever, electronics. And so I'd already looked at the tools, and I was kind of walking, about to walk away. And then I saw the bucket with tools, and then, you know, there ended up being two buckets with tools, and the second bucket had that, but it was like, and he was like standing next to it and talking to somebody. So I had to kind of walk around a different way to get over to it. And I'm like looking in, and I was like, yes, like, that's it. I got it. It's like, it was a good one too. It was like in pretty good condition, and the right hammer shape, you know, the claw, like I like the straight claws, the more carpenter style rather than the curved claws and stuff. So
yeah, it was nice. And you did a good job conveying your excitement. And also at the end with the Harbor Freight stuff, you're like, well, I feel this way. You know, some people like say it was a good way to approach it. You weren't shitting on it, but you weren't like celebrating it. You were, you were what most people I think feel like, anything cheap.
Right.
It's available. Time and place. Yeah. It's nice we have this stuff available.
Right.
Obviously, it's not the best, and you don't go here for everything, but for these certain things, and you want to get them new, and, you know, you're trying to save a few bucks, and why not?
Yeah, right. It was fun. I liked the video, and I liked how you put up the Toolbox 100 hashtag and the Art of Craftsmanship and stuff. Like when I was talking about that, like nice and big, so people were like, it's reiterating the point that we want people to share because we want to see them and we want to share other people's finds, you know? Right.
Just, put it in your face a little bit. Like, hey, this is it.
Yeah.
And,
I like that.
Yeah. No, I think it's nice. And I did I thought of Antiques Roadshow. Where you show it at the end and you have like the price, you know how they do that?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's usually some type of noise like ding dong.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So that's, I was like, oh, I'll do like a cha-ching. The price will slide in and then it'll, you know, it'll be like a 2-second thing.
Yeah.
And you move on to the next.
That was great. It was great to keep track of it, and it was fun because, you know, like we said earlier, like, obviously I had it in my mind to keep it under $100. And so when I'm buying things and, you know, it's like you buy this thing for a couple bucks and this thing for a couple bucks, it's like I wasn't really keeping track of the price of it. You know, I was kind of along the way. I would make a note of it or put it in my phone, like a note, so I could, because obviously we wanted to keep track of it and I wanted to be able to have that record. But yeah, like you said, I mean, if, you know, I mean, I could have put 5 or 6 more tools in there for, you know, different prices, but it really was about, like, this was a list. Like, we, you and I sat down and we came up with that list. Like, these are important things.
Yeah.
That should be like in an essential toolbox that is in your house or something. You know, if you don't have a whole shop full of tools, like, you want to have these tools. Like, these are the good ones to have. Of course, there's always more tools, and some of the tools that I put in there weren't like completely necessary, but, you know, it's like there are some things that are just, it's good to have, and once you have it, then you use it, and, you know.
Right, and the interesting thing is hopefully to see other people's, because there will be some stuff that will go, oh, yeah, I should have had that in my thing. Wouldn't that be cool if I had that? It's just getting a little information.
Yeah.
From a bunch of different people. I think it'll be good. It'll be fun. So join us if you're listening and wanna join us. Hashtag the stuff, and we'll talk about it probably, or make another video later on. And
yeah, I did Tuesday night before I was gonna take the stuff in on Wednesday. I like sharpened up the chisel really good, and then I sharpened up the plane really good as well. So, you know, set up my sharpening stuff with, you know, flat surfaces and sandpaper and stropping, and got everything really sharp. So super nice now. So like, that's another thing. It's like a sharp tool is just like something that makes you giddy, whether it's a really nice wood, you know, chisel or like a Japanese, you know, block plane, or if it's just like a regular Stanley chisel that you're going to use for chopping any wood, you know, and maybe mess it up later. But having it start off really sharp and really shiny is just like, gives me the fizz.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. So yeah, I've been working on a recurve bow. I don't know if we've talked about that at all yet, but I have this Osage bow that I'm working on for Corinne, which is coming out really good. It's all finished tillered now, and I've been doing the finish on it. I'm using True Oil, which is a mix of like linseed oils and a few other oil. And actually, it's a finish that Clay Hayes recommended in one of his videos, and then I was kind of looking up his processes of applying it and whatnot, and then I saw a few other like bow makers that I know and that I, you know, trust their skills and their knowledge are also, you know, occasionally using that as well. So I picked up a little bottle of True Oil, and it's nice because it's kind of a it's like a surface polymerizing finish, so it's really like putting layers on top, you know, to protect the wood. You do 4, 5, 6 coats of it, and then you get like a really nice buildup of this surface on the outside that's not like sticky, but it's really like shiny, which is like kind of fun because it's pretty. But it'll create basically a shell of waterproofness to protect it. So
cool.
Like I don't absolutely love the shininess for all my bows, but I do like it for some of them. And so, you know, that's one of those things where I like, for the long bows that are a little bit more like just the piece of wood and a little.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage, and do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
More simple. You know, I don't necessarily want it to be super shiny. I want it to look like a piece of wood. So I like the tongue oil for that because it's a penetrating oil. You know, it'll soak in and doesn't really sit on the surface. But like I've been working on this one for Corinne, and it's looking really nice. And I brought it up today after putting another coat on, and Nicole was like, "Ooh, that's so pretty. It's so shiny." She's like, "I want that on my bow." I was like, "All right, cool."
So, like, the oil's downstairs.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, it's funny because you know, I got the I backed this bow with rawhide, and I got two pieces, so we actually backed Nicole's bow as well. And she did it herself because she made the bow. And so I asked her the other day, I was like, you know, after you back it, once it's all dry, then you go and you like rasp along the edges to trim off the stuff that's hanging over the side, so it's just on the back of the bow. And I was like, do you want me to do it or do you want to do it? And I was like, I'm, you know, if you want me to, I can do it, but I know that you made the bow. And she's like, no, that's like, the fun part is the trimming. I was like, okay, cool. So she wants to do it. You know, and part of me is like, I want her to do it because, you know, it's like she's done everything up to this point, so she can say, like, you know, she's done it all.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Did I tell you how, I don't know if I mentioned how she thought that me saying we're going to back the bows downstairs was like me saying I'm going to back the bows.
What do you mean?
So I had mentioned to her a couple times, like when I had purchased the raw hide that I got it, I got two sets, one for Corinne's bow and one for her bow, because there was a little crack in hers and she had a little patch. But I wanted to like back it completely to make sure it was good. Mm-hmm. Or I wanted it to be backed. So I had mentioned to her a couple times, like, I'm getting this, you know, this stuff. And then once it came in, I was like, all right, well, let's do it. Like, let's back these bows, you know, this weekend or whatever, when it was 2 weeks or something ago. And I mentioned her a couple of times, and then like, as I was ready to, it was like the afternoon of one Saturday or something, we had run some errands. I was like, okay, you ready to go downstairs and like back these bows? And she was like, oh wait, you want me to come downstairs too? I was like, yeah, I mentioned like multiple times, like, we're going to back these bows. And she was like, yeah, but I thought you meant like how, like when I say we need to take the trash out, but I really mean you need to take the trash
the
out.
The royal we.
I was, yeah, right. And I was cracking. I was laughing. I was like, oh, it's so good. I was like, no, I mean we, like, uh-huh. We as in I want you to come downstairs with me because like this is your bow and I want you to do it. And I need to do Corinne's bow, but it was really funny.
We need to pick up groceries. Like,
yeah, right.
I'll see you in, see in an hour. I'll be back.
Like, I thought you meant like the whole, how I say we need to take the trash out. That's why I asked her. I was like, do you want me to, you know, finish this off for you? And she was like, no, I won't do that part. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah.
You're like, should we go down right now while we are knitting upstairs?
Yeah, right, exactly. But yeah, I did get that picture posted on Instagram, and she's like in her bulky winter coat, like in the basement, like all hat on, all like bundled up. I'm like, it's like 60 downstairs. It's not that cold.
Right. But, nice.
Nah, it was cool. But yeah, it's coming along really good. It looks beautiful. I got all the finished tiller. I was, once I strung it, and I was it was very scary to tiller that bow out to 28 inches to like put it in on the tillering tree and draw it out to 28 inches because of how short the limbs are. It's not a 72 inch bow. It's a 59 inch bow, right? So it's like 60 or maybe 59 or 58, like at the longest. So it's short, you know? So it just, but even like shorter bows should be able to, I mean, not should, but you know, I wanted to be able to tiller it out to 28 inches because that's the standard. And I also was like, well, I'd like to be able to have it tillered out to 28 because then I know that it can take that bend. So I was tillering it, and I was hearing these like little teeny pops here and there, but you know, that was also the raw hide backing is glued on, right? So it's like kind of like it's flexing, and it's like, and I also had used super glue on the edges of the raw hide, you know, to like to make sure. So those were popping a little bit. I could hear it and it was fine. So then I like strung it and I was doing a final like draw, and I'm kind of pulling it, and I hear like another little tick that's just like a little bit louder.
Oh boy.
And so like I was like, well, you know, like I didn't see anything. The back of the bow is completely, you know, backed with raw hide. So if there was something that, you know, popped in the inside, like it shouldn't lift. You know, I've seen other makers do patches on bows that have, you know, lifted grain or cracks and stuff. And, you know, with the idea that patch it and keep on going. Like, and I told Corinne that, I was like, yeah, I heard a little pop, but I don't see anything. And I drew it a bunch more times after I did it, and I didn't hear it after that. So, I was like, if it breaks, I'll make you another one. So like, it is what it is. We'll string it up and we'll shoot it for a while. It should be fine. And
if it breaks, you'll make your first bow.
We're gonna make a bow.
It's yeah, time. Right.
Not the royal wheat. Yeah, right, exactly.
It is time.
but yeah, it was fun to shape the handle. I like this really nice, like, kind of, you know,
yeah,
a little bit more pistol grip handle.
Good. I saw those picks.
Yeah. Cool. And I stamped it. I used my hot stamp to stamp into the side of the handle, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Because, you know, like, I guess traditionally when you sign and you write the bow weight and stuff and the date, whatever, on the, you write them on the limbs, right, on either side, the top and bottom of the handle. And I will do that. I want to put in like the date and the length and the draw weight and stuff, and I'll write it on there. But I'm gonna do that after the finish. But I also wanted the AOC logo on there somewhere, and I am hesitant to heat up the stamp too hot so that way it'll burn wood, because I don't want it to, you know, mess up the temper of the steel. For doing hot stamping, I want it to be nice and hard. So I was like, well, I'll just press it in, which is fine. So I was going to use my Arbor Press, but it's the length of the throw isn't, it's not tall enough to put the whole handle of the hot stamp in. So I just used my drill press and put it on the side of the handle where it's like nice and thick. And I pressed it in and got it good. And I was like looking at it, and then I realized I'd put it on the wrong side of the handle. Like it doesn't really matter that it's covered. But it's on the side that you shoot off your hand. So it's on the side that the arrow is going to be rubbing against the logo, the AOC logo, which is not a big deal. It's just, I was going to put it on the other side because I wanted to maybe eventually cut a shelf, an arrow shelf on that side.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let Corinne shoot it for a while. So it doesn't really matter. Like, if I cut an arrow shelf there, then I'll just stamp it on the other side. But
yeah.
I did like stamp it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, cool, looks great. And I'm like, oh, damn it. I knew I'll stamp it on the right side. So that way it's not on the side where you're going to shoot off the arrow. So that way if I do stamp it, da, 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 and then I just went on, stamped it on the wrong side. But it'd be kind of cool. So now it's like where the logo is where you put the arrow on, you know, if you're shooting it, whatever, you know, right-handed and whatnot. So,
yeah.
But, And I've been talking to Corinne about potentially, like painting the back of the bow over the rawhide and doing like a pattern or something, or maybe like, you know, a faux snakeskin pattern or some type of leaves and vines or something. She wants to be more like elf bow and not. And, so I had her like thinking about it, and then when I was ready to like paint it or like do that, I was like, okay, what do you think? Like, you know, I want to do something. So what do we want to look at a pattern? She was like, I don't know. She's like, I kind of like the way it is. You know, I kind of like it just with the rawhide. And I was like, okay, well, that's easy for me. You know, like, yeah. I'm all right with that. I was like, you sure? She's like, yeah.
Done.
She's like, I'll live with it for a while. She's like, we can always put it on later. I'm like, you're right. So I'm going to do a leather handle for her though. So it'll have that nice leather handle around the middle of it, but it'll just be the wood and the rawhide, and it's pretty cool, man. It's exciting, and it's just cool. Like, just Osage is such crazy wood. You can just heat it up and it bends so easily, and
yeah,
makes really cool stuff. And it's just like a pretty looking bow, you know. It's got like good shape to it, and yeah,
that's fun.
It's pretty. Yeah, so that's been fun. Like, it's just fun to do bows again. And I have another short short limb that we could do another recurve out of if we want to shoot a video of it. That'd be kind of fun. But yeah.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then there's some you could just on projects like that. I would just roll on GoPro or do.
Right. Just to, simple, yeah, just to get like
just a, to get it. Then we could put it out as
right.
As just a voiceover thing. Like, you know,
yeah.
75% of people do anyway.
Right.
Because you're doing it anyway. It's just, you don't have to think too much about setting it up. Just every day you work on it, pick a different angle.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
If there's stuff like that that are really cool projects, and you don't have to worry, you know, it's not too much. You don't have to, it won't slow you down much, especially if you just grab the GoPro.
Yeah.
Or the DJI. Just pick one format and then
right.
Do it all on that and just have it.
Yeah. And I think that, like, my problem is not the will or the desire to do that. It's the It's the remembering to do it in the moment. You know, because I'm, like, excited about this thing. So I'm like, oh, let me just hop down the shop real quick, and I'll just, like, you know, I'll till her for 10 minutes. And then, like, I go down, and it's, like, an hour later, and it's, like, fully tillered. You know, like, or, you know, I'm just like, oh, let me go, like, just see it real quick, or, you know, work on this one little part. Well, or
it'll be like when you, for me, when I don't want to forget to take something somewhere.
Right, yeah.
I put it on top of my wallet or keys.
Yep.
You know, because then you have to get through
it. You have to pick it up. Yeah, right.
So just put the GoPro on top of the bow.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Right, exactly. That's not a bad idea, yeah.
Just have it right there ready to go. But,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to. Obviously, you don't have to record everything. But if you wanted to, we could do a video out of it. Just
right. Yeah.
You'd have a quick one. I'd edit it up real quick, and then you come over, and we'll just do a talk over. Because, I mean, why not? We have hundreds of videos that are fully done in a full way. We can throw some in different formats.
And,
and ways. Just why not? It's something else.
Yeah, and I was also thinking, like, at different parts along the process, you know, like, just shooting those parts, being like, hey, you know, this is how you shape a handle, or this is how you apply, like, a finish to a bow, or this is how you do, you know, a rawhide backing. Like, just the little, like, just videos about the one step of the process, you know?
Right.
I had that thought along the way, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I just, sometimes it's just me in the shop is like, that's what I want. You know, I'm just down there to like work and just be like making something and, you know, making something, not a video.
I was going to say, you can make two things.
Yeah, right. Not that I really care. It's just a mindset thing. You know, it's like Jimmy DiResta, like he's always in his shop making stuff and he just films everything.
Right.
You know, it's just
a part of his, it's like,
yeah,
like, yeah,
that's so just
putting a belt on.
Right.
He's got a camera on.
Yeah. And, you know, and I, you know, if I had that constant mentality, that'd be fine. But I just don't. And maybe I'm spoiled because I have a you, you know, like, it's like, okay, when you come over, we're shooting for the channel. And if not, it's just, then I just get to like, just be in my shop and just doing shop stuff. Which I, you know, I like, not that, like I said, not that it's any different. It doesn't feel any different when I'm shooting my, you know, filming myself. It's just a different mentality of like, then I'm thinking about angles and shots and stuff. And,
yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. But yeah, I mean, I like it, you know, doing shooting stuff for shorts and stuff or reels. Like that was fine. You know, kind of set up the camera, shoot for a little bit and then put the camera aside
temporary. Those things.
Yeah,
they don't last. They disappear.
Yeah,
even when one's great, it just like poof. Like people have these huge, oh man, like a million people saw it. And you're like, what? I think I saw that. You watch like 4 seconds of it.
Right.
It's like, what is it? It's gone. What does it mean?
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's nothing. It's like a firework in the sky, and then it's like people move on.
Yep.
Like holy shit, did you see that? Yeah. All right. Crazy. What's on TV?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like it does nothing, stays with it. It's interesting. It's cool to share it that way, but
right, yeah.
I feel like it has it doesn't stay. I mean, on our big videos, we still 7 years old, we have people still writing nice things and still
still seeing it. Like it's still there.
Seeing it,
like,
and talking about it. It's just there. It's
right.
It will be for as long as these things exist.
Yeah, and like, you know, people can search it, and you know, they just search a thing, and it, you know, I don't know, can you search reels? Like, I mean, I guess so. I don't know, maybe not. You know, if
reels
like
just come to you, you don't, I guess you don't have to search. It just
feeds it to you.
It algorithms.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I know. That's
it. Just that's seems. Like, that's, yeah, I don't know. It just seems a little. It's great. It's great for people selling stuff. I'll say that.
Right,
but it does not feel very impactful.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's like immediate, and it's like
something cool.
It's like of the moment, you know. Yeah. Like, and you know, it's like it can. But then, I mean, there's like, I guess people who do a lot of reels on Instagram, but they don't do YouTube videos. You know, that's kind of that. Like, okay, it's part of social media, but it's not really part of art and culture, you know, or something, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost, you know, not that it's not artistic to put it together, but it has a different feel.
And some
it's
people,
like very yeah. immediate and fleeting.
You and know, people do spend so much time on them.
Yeah.
And they are well done, but it's, you're in a format under a minute long that
right.
is passed by quickly.
Right.
So you're going to spend all that time, make a long format version of it, then do a short one.
Right.
But yeah. That, I mean, that's a lot. Right. I understand right, that's exactly. a lot more work. Yeah, I get it, but it's.
Yeah.
Do something that you can do the book, and then you can, like, do the. You can, like, do the audio version, or you can do the Sparks right. version of it. Like, I don't know, but still have the original work.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But no. yeah, but also, some people are just selling stuff, so they don't care. They just want to get eyes right. on it.
Yeah.
Oh man, that this right. got a couple hundred thousand views, and I sold a thing. And that's it's just it's not.
That's for that, right? Exactly.
It doesn't need yeah. to stay. It just needs to sell some of my work, and that's a perfectly legit way to use it.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
for I don't know. For but we're I just want something to last.
Right. Exactly.
Put all that I mean, work into it. You just want it to yeah. live on.
Right. And you're yeah. I mean we're coming from it. From the angle of it being an artistic expression, mm-hmm. right? It's like we're doing it because we want to teach and we want to show people the stuff and like, and you want to create the videos and edit them together. And you're like, you know, it's, there's an expression to it. As opposed to the, it's our business, you know,
right.
like it's not my business to make and sell things. So, you know, I'm making them and I'm, when we're showing them because we want to put that out there and we want to show like, you know, look like this nice editing and the nice lighting and all that stuff. It all goes into it. We want to create, you know, yeah. a story.
Yeah. That's, that's why I always want to encourage people to, you know, it's a lot of people that it is what happens. Most Instagrammers yeah. do get a YouTube and then they don't get the views maybe that they have, you know, you don't immediately get the attention you're getting on the other thing. And that's, I mean, right. that's how it is.
Yeah.
So then people go like, I don't know, like I got 400 views on something on YouTube, but then I got whatever 200,000 views on my thing on Instagram.
Yeah, right.
It's like, yeah, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You might get that many views on a YouTube video, but a lot of times you won't. But it's
right.
For that, it's quality, not quantity. Like,
right.
Yeah. These people also spent 30 minutes with you.
Mm-hmm.
The people on Instagram will never spend 30 minutes with you. Even if they follow yeah. you for 5 years, they will not spend 30 minutes with you.
Right, yeah.
You know? They because yeah. they will see 200 different people that night.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, right.
Let them spend some time with you. You might
yeah.
you might get even more sales. Start with the long videos and do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, yeah. yeah, people are successful a million different ways, and I'm happy for anyone who can, you know, make a living off of whatever
yeah. direction they yeah, want. Yeah, it's your yeah. perspective, you know, where you want, what do you want out of it, you know, what's it for, what's it to you, you know.
Right,
so what's
it to you?
If it's doing what it needs to do for you, and you're happy with that, then cool, you know.
Yeah.
So, Before we finish up, before we get into our recommendations, we need to talk a little bit about our buddy in the community, Steve Pellegrino, who just passed away. Unfortunately, Steve was a really awesome knife maker. Actually, probably like honestly one of the makers who I would say made knives that caught my eye the most. Most often.
Yeah.
There's a lot of knife makers out there and I like a lot of them. You know, they all have great, beautiful styles and stuff, but it's something about the way Steve made knives. I really liked his design aesthetic. It was really similar to what I like. And then also the way he, made Damascus, like this really beautiful patterns, very bold, very like high contrast, that like almost like straight black and white, you know, like
yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful designs of his knife making. And just a really awesome guy. You know, you and I were talking briefly before the podcast about him, and like neither of us ever had like really in-depth conversation with him or any more than just kind of passing or part of like a circle of people chatting. But he was just like a nice guy, just easy to be around. And he was just always there. Like he was at Maker Camp every year and always helping out Will Shear, you know, at the barbecue and in the forges and hanging around people and chatting and just always like smiling and always laughing. And, you know, my first experience meeting Steve was actually, so like I knew of him through the community and, you know, I'd seen his knives and stuff and followed him on Instagram, but we were at Maker Camp the first year and one of the nights it was like super late, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning or something. And I was heading from the fire pit back to our tent and Steve and two other people, and I can kind of picture them, but I don't know if I ever knew their names. I may have, but, they were all lit, you know, they'd all been drinking all night long and they were forging at one of the coal forges and just like working together and laughing, and they're like smoking cigars and like Steve had his like signature big hat on that he always wore, this like wide brimmed like awesome hat, and
yeah,
you know, he's always dressed nice, like black denim jacket and like I don't know, like nice fitted jeans and mm-hmm. cool boots, and like he just yeah. was like, he's like a James Dean like of the like Maker Camp, you know.
Yeah.
And so he's there and they're all like laughing, and Forge and I went up and chatted with him for like a minute, you know, like, oh, what are you guys making? And they're just like, we're just chatting about whatever it was, and they're all laughing and, you know, like stumbling around and like working at the coal forge but just having a great time. And I was like, man, that's cool. And it's funny, at the time he had just been in an accident in his car, and like something about, I forget exactly what it was, but I think I heard through Jeff Fader that maybe it was like a tree branch fell in his car and he was like, you know, whatever had happened, he had gotten hurt, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to him like, oh man, like I'm glad you're here. Like, I wasn't sure if you'd make it after like the accident stuff that you were in. He was like, oh yeah, it's fine or whatever. You know, he was like, and he was like a little confused at first. He's like, what do you mean? And he was like, oh no, no, it's good. I'm good. You know, whatever. So, and that was like that first interaction, but yeah, he's been around. He was out at, Chris Cash's place in Maryland one time when we went out, for one of his, big like get togethers or tool sales get togethers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're just chatting, just hanging around, you know, group of four or five guys standing in a circle, just hanging out and chatting, you know, shaking hands, shooting the shit, like just a normal, happy, awesome dude. Yeah, he was in an accident, about a week ago and driving home from maybe the shop or something at, you know, late in the early in the morning, like 2 o'clock, 2:30, something like that. And, got in an accident and drove, I think, I don't know the details. I could be getting them wrong, but I'm telling them secondhand from what I heard from someone else that maybe drove off of like a bridge or something. And so got a pretty bad accident, was on life support for about a week or so. And then he just passed away. So unfortunately, you know, I think we lost a good one. He seemed like a really good guy. And like I said, we didn't know him all too well, but just from being around, it's one of those guys that's just always there, you know, young and a good guy. And it just made me, anytime you like lose someone that's young, anytime that someone dies that's young, especially when they're part of your community, it just brings back to the forefront how important it is to, you know, be good to people that are around you. Mm-hmm. and like talk to people and do things for people and tell people that you love them, and, you know, just like, you know, because you could lose anyone at any moment, you know. And it's just the reality of life and the dangers of just living in a world that there are dangerous things happening around us. It's not we
drive steel machines at 80 miles per
right.
hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No,
you never know, man.
Same thing. Like a few times being in a circle of people talking. One time I drunkenly interrupted him and someone else like to, it was something stupid I had to say about something. And they kind of looked at me like it's one of the, like that time I was lit. You know, yeah, it was right. one of those times they kind of looked at me, but they were nice about it.
Right.
You know,
right.
when someone lets a drunk person nicely, like, all right, man, cool. Like, shit. All right, guys. Like, I had one of those moments, but he was always around with like you said, the food guys and
The barbecue and
Green Money Fab, Chris from, you know, those guys, he was always around them. And I mean, those guys always serving a lot of people, and they work all day and night doing that. And he'd be over making knives and stuff, and then he'd go help with the food, and those people are awesome. I mean, that's what they love to do, but it's also they're doing a lot of work for other people who are just walking around. And but I remember seeing him this last time, you know, serving up grub, and they hooked us up, and it's a good guy. It's a shame. It's a shame to lose him.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see all the people, you know, giving him love and giving his family love, and you know, I mean, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, help the family out with some GoFundMe stuff and give them love and let the people he loves know that we see him and we recognize a good person and that's all you can do for him. Like,
yeah,
when someone loses someone and then you see an outpouring of support, that's a small lift, and every little lift you can get for something when you go through something like that is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just think that's important. You know, because the people who are mourning are going to mourn either way, right? But like, just knowing, you know, when you're close to someone, you don't see the big picture so much. So then, you know, when you see how many people come out to just show their support and say how much someone meant to them, you know, then it's like, oh wow, you know, this maybe, you know, that it makes it hard, right? Because then you know that there are a lot of people who are emotionally touched by this person, but it softens your heart and lets you know that there are people who cared, and there are other people out there thinking you're not like in it alone, you know.
And there's something I'll always remember. A friend of mine lost a parent, and he and this has been said by a lot of people, and him and his mother, they were talking about it with me and some other people, and they're like, don't stop talking about the person, because you know, people do, you don't know what to say, and that's fair. None of us, when you see someone who's been through a horrific thing, you don't necessarily know what to say to them.
Right.
And it's awkward and it's weird and we all feel bad about it, but it's, don't stop talking about the person.
Right.
Because you're not going to bring it up. They're not going to forget about it. Don't worry. It's not going to be like, oh yeah, my husband or my boyfriend did pass away. They're never going to forget about it. So you bringing it up won't necessarily hurt them. It's because the feeling was that people stopped talking about them like they never existed. And that hurts more than you bring it up. Like, share the story, share whatever you can. If I see you and you have a thought about that person, bring it up, and don't like censor yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless obviously there's someone who's hysterical every time you bring it up, then you're like, just don't bring up blah, blah, blah. But
continue
to talk about the people you love after they're gone. Because they don't act like they never existed just to try to make someone feel better. Cause I don't think it usually does. They don't mind hearing about that person. So,
It might bring back some tough memories, but you know, those are memories. That's life.
You don't want the person all of a sudden, like, this person, like, oh, my husband or boyfriend was in everyone's lives, and then all of a sudden, no one ever talked about him again.
Right.
That hurts a lot, too.
Yeah, right. You don't, you know, people don't want to be forgotten.
It's like, hey, remember this? This person was here, too. They did all these things. We can say them. We can talk about them. So, you know, just, that's just general advice. And I remember hearing that and kind of, because I knew that I felt awkward bringing it up.
Right, yeah.
I was like, hey, man, you can talk about them. Just talk about them. Like, you don't have to hold back. Just say their name. If you think of them in the middle of conversation, just bring them up like they're here. Like, it's fine. Because that person will not forget them. It's not going to surprise them. Like, oh, shit, they are dead. Like, no. Trust me, I feel it. And it's nice when you mention that the person...
Yep.
You meant something to you.
Yeah. 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 And you know, that's, like I said, that's everybody. I think I really started feeling, that pull to live a life where, you know, you tell people that you love them and that you make sure you're in the moment, that you're off, you know, you're trying to Like, don't just let a moment pass when you're passionate about something. You know, take advantage of that and try to make sure that people know that, or you take advantage. Like, you know, it's a little cliche, but the whole "you only live once" thing, right? Like, if you're thinking about something and you're passionate about it, or it's something you know someone's going to feel good about, then go ahead and do it. And you know, pass it along. I had that feeling really when our oldest brother Derek was in Iraq. You know, it was like, I remember, I don't know if it was like him or it was people, you know, when I would mention like, "Oh yeah, my brother's in Iraq." And it's like, it was during the first, like, Osama bin Laden, you know, like after the World Trade Centers, when we, the U.S. basically went into Iraq, you know, like it was an invasion. And Derek was there on the front lines, and, you know, people would ask, be like, "Oh, are you scared? Are you worried? You know, your brother's in Iraq. He's, you know, he's on the front lines." And I think maybe it was something Derek said to me or whatever, and he was like, "You know, like, yeah, of course I'm in more danger there, but, you know, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And if it's my time to go, I could just as easily get in an accident at home, you know, like get hit, you know, like Steve, you know, you can get an accident. People die anytime. Like, it's not like, don't wait to tell someone, you know, what they mean to you, or don't wait to do something good to somebody, for somebody, you know, because you never know. Like, people could go at any time. We've had a few different friends who we've lost, and family members that we've lost over the years. It's like, it happens. So, you know, it's like, it could happen anytime. So don't let it cripple you, but also don't let, you know, make sure you tell those people that you love them, and you do those good things for people when you think about doing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now we're all, depressed and sad now on the end of this, but don't worry.
Yeah.
No, we're going to continue to talk about people. Yeah. Just, you know, if you, it's nice. I like seeing all those people, and people we know better who knew him better. And right. you feel connection through that. Like,
yeah.
It
was Chris Cash just put a video out like 2 weeks ago. And taking a power hammer to Steve. And he had a couple, like, you know, reels and shorts and stuff. There's one funny one where Steve's wearing a hat, and I think it says something like, maybe it's Walrus Oil or something. I forget what it is, but it's something, but it's like a woodworking brand. And he's like, and Chris is like, "What's that on your hat? What's that hat mean? You know, like, what's Walrus or whatever?" And he's like, and Steve's like, "Oh, it's a woodworking brand. Like, you wouldn't know about that. Like, you don't know about wood." He's like, busting Chris's balls, you know?
Yeah, good. That's,
he's like, "You don't know about wood."
That's definitely a Chris comment.
Yeah, right. What's with that?
What's that mean? Was it stupid? Something. What's it
mean? He's like, "You don't know about it. That's a wood thing. You wouldn't know anything about that." But, you know, so these, like, funny little perfect moments, and, you know, it's like, Those happen, you know, moments happen, and you know, Chris will have that memory of that last interaction, going to Steve's place and helping him set up the hammer, and you know, it's pretty cool.
And like old Theodore Roosevelt said, he did things, had great devotions, and spent himself in a worthy cause, and all those things. You know, he didn't have to be the one who was the timid person who didn't pursue what he wanted to pursue, and he left behind memories and items and a lot of great things that, you know, a lot of people don't get to. So there's that, you know, it's a great thing to be a maker and a person of a community, so you can pass things on, and there you go.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, if you're listening and you feel good about somebody, tell them that you feel good about them, right? You know, like, tell them the good stuff, because you know, life is fleeting, and we lose people, and you know, even if someone doesn't die, like, some people leave and we don't get a chance to, you know, see them again, and maybe they had some effect on your life. So tell those people how they've affected you positively before you can. So cool. All right. You have a recommendation, Dev?
I guess I don't think I've mentioned it.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you watch The White Lotus, Dust?
I have not watched. I think maybe I've watched, like, you know, I think Nicole was watching White Lotus, so I kind of caught some parts
of episodes. It's very interesting and weird and kind of cool, but I appreciate that they they shoot in the real locations. So they're like in Hawaii, and then they're at the other place, and this third season is in Thailand. So they're at this beautiful resort in Thailand, and they shot the whole season. Everyone stayed there and shot it. It's so well done. And
is it like the family, like on vacation or whatever?
Yeah, so each one's like a different White Lotus.
Right, okay.
So the second season was in Italy, and then third season's in Thailand. Just good and weird and kind of dark humor, and then kind of it gets really heavy and serious, but then it's light and weird, and there's usually like a murder, and it's really, I don't know, it's kind of hypnotic. Like, I just want to keep watching, and I keep thinking about it. Nice. It's one of those things where you kind of, you ingest it, and then you keep kind of thinking about it later on. So they're in the midst of the third season. And it's very good. It's on HBO, White Lotus.
Sweet. Right on. Cool. Yeah. Like I said, I think Nicole was watching. She was really into it, so I caught some of it. But
it's worth a go.
Nice. Right on. Cool. Well, my recommendation today, and I'm trying to pull it up so I can give you the actual title, is the newest video by Eric from Hantel Rescue. It's called "Can You Forge a Hand Plane?" Patent Remake. So, Hantel Rescue, the premise of his channel mostly is restoring old tools, taking them apart, putting them back together, showing the whole process. But he's also remade some old patented tools that aren't around anymore. And one of the ones that he did, this one is a plane. I think it's called like the Toboggan plane or something like that. So it's a hand plane that's all made out of basically one piece of steel that kind of wraps around both ends, almost like a toboggan. But it's really good, really funny. Most of his videos are funny. Like, he has this funny dry sense of humor, and he does stuff like usually without showing himself too much. But in the beginning of this video, there's like a 3-minute long AI generated song about what's the name of this plane, because it's like you're trying to, like, it has a bunch of different names, and basically all the lyrics of the song are all these different eBay posts about this tool for sale, and like question marks, like, what is this tool, like, is it called a blah 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 plane, blah, blah, blah. It was really funny, but you can tell it was like he basically put the clips together and was like, make a song out of these clips. And so that's like the song. It's so funny, and it's like, what is it called, da, 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 da. and there's a bunch of stuff with him in this one, because he's actually making it, so him like talking and it's just like this. I love it. He's so funny, and he's so dry with his humor. It's so good. It's like, it just pushes my buttons just the right amount. It's like, you know, all the good buttons. Like, it's just the type of humor I like. It just cracks me up. So in like one part, he's like, oh, let me get, like, you know, I'm going to make it out of this certain piece of steel, and I'll be right back to show you where the steel is. And then he like moves over a foot, and he's like, oh, here it is. And like shows to you, how about that? It's right here in the shot. I didn't even have to go anywhere. Just like funny, dry humor. And him always like presenting, like almost like a, you know, Italian looking like male Vanna White. Like, look at this thing. It's so funny. It's like, I don't know. I love it. It's just hilarious. And then he's, you know, remaking this tool, which was kind of funny too, because, he's not a blacksmith. So he's not, you know, forging everything and shaping it and all like the way you would think a blacksmith would. He's doing it the way someone that just has a shop and just is all about tools would. So he's using like a torch, you know, like an oxyacetylene torch to heat up the steel, to bend it and shape it. And, you know, he's shaping it on whatever tools and stuff he has. Like, he's using a weird, like, round bar to shape it around and not like the horn of an anvil, you know? So it's like very, very just like slapdash. Like, I'm going to use what I have in my shop to make this thing. But then of course it comes out like the way he wants it to, you know? And it's just, it was fun, but it's a good video and funny. So check it out. Hand Tool Rescue. It's like, can you remake this funky old plane? But I like when he does, when he's remaking stuff, 'cause he's got all the resources to make stuff well and cool. Like, he's got lathes and tools and, you know, all sorts of cool stuff. So usually it comes away with something that's like pretty awesome, even if it's, you know, not done exactly the way that you would think. The original, obviously the original manufacturing wasn't done, but it's almost like the way maybe the person who invented it would have made it, you know, like, which is kind of funny.
I like prototype.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Cool. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Yeah, again, just head over, check out the GoFundMe for Steve Pellegrino. If you check out, if you go to Will Shear, his Instagram, he's the one who set it up originally, and Will is the you know, cook and maker that heads up the whole barbecue every year at Maker Camp. But yeah, check out his page, and you can find it through a bunch of different avenues. A lot of people have been posting stuff about it, but support his wife, and yeah. And then also, if you guys check out the Toolbox 100 video, and again, if you want to participate and you want to build a toolbox, you know, shoot us a DM and we'll send you a sticker back. I haven't sent any out yet because it's just been a busy week. So, but I have some nice envelopes, and I got to get some more stamps, but I have the stickers. So I'm going to start packing and sending things out this week.
Did you get some nice envelopes?
Yep. I have some like brown craft paper envelopes.
Oh, so yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I want to type up a, you know, like a thank you. And also like, these are the rules type of thing that I can send out, and then I can kind of do a handwritten note on the back of each one. But that way it's like a pre-made thing that I can send out for people when I send them the packets.
Yeah, do tools and then, yeah, right. Yeah, each person.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll be doing that. So, but yeah, check out the video on YouTube. I think it's fun. Like I said, you know, I think you did a great job editing it, Devin, to like make it feel like it moves through and like it's exciting and you're like, oh, what's next? What's next? You know, and each thing is fun. And I, you know, like when we set up that shot, it was just like me talking about it and just going, just get the whole shot all the way through. And then, I think you did a good job of editing down to be like succinct and, you know, not like super repetitive. And I'm sure there were like lots of times that I was repetitive because I'm like talking about it. Like,
yeah, I mean, sometimes like in any conversation, you say something and then you move on and then you kind of wrap it up.
Right.
To reiterate. And sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes it isn't. So it's just, anyone who's talking for a half an hour will get edited for something like that. So
right, yeah.
It was a few times like that, but it was good stuff. So
yeah. So yeah, guys, check it out. Let us know what you think. You know, send us a DM or an email if you want to participate, or you can also just start, you know, finding stuff and putting up the hashtag Toolbox100 and tag The Art of Craftsmanship in your post so we can reshare and get everybody involved in the movement, which is fun. You can also, you know, send us a DM on Instagram. You can send it to me at The Art of Craftsmanship or Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. And then, if you want to support the channel further, you can head over to patreon.com/The Art of Craftsmanship and you can support us there. Those people who support are go above and beyond, and you know, we have nothing but, huge appreciations for those people. So I think we have a couple new patrons over there. So maybe I'll pull that list up and we'll shout out our patrons.
Cool.
So, yeah, guys. So, thank you all so much. It's been a pleasure. Back to another 200 videos and 200 podcasts. we'll keep on going. Devin, always a pleasure, man.
All right, brother.
Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.